since Colin's here too, I was gonna ask him, yo, you are you an Eagles fan? Because
Bird Gang till the day I die.
What's up, man? What happened, man? What happened with some Cowboys, bro?
Listen. We've had the hardest stretch over the of the last 5 weeks of it any team tough. In the NFL. Cowboys, Bills, Chiefs, Cowboys again. And we're going to have Seahawks coming up. Like, we've got a very tough stretch. And so it's hard to beat these other really great teams that are playing.
Are you saying the Cowboys are a great team, though? Is the Cowboys for real? That's what I really want to know.
See, Cowboys are a regular season team. Always have been, always will be. They do well in the regular season, and then the playoffs come, and then they're nowhere to be found. So I'm not worried about them in the playoffs because we've been seeing what they do in the playoffs, and they go away. So I ain't too worried about it.
Wait, can I say that? Can I say the same thing about the Eagles, though?
Did we not win a Super Bowl like 3 years ago?
Oh, yeah, hold on. Before that.
Before that, go ahead. But like, we won the Super Bowl a couple years ago. We were in the Super Bowl last year. We got Jalen Hurts, legend right now. Like, sure, he's not playing his best football, 100%, but we still going to be in the, you know, competing for a Super Bowl by the time it comes. So I'm feeling good. It's not the best position. I would have loved to beat the Cowboys for sure, but, you know, I still think we're positioned well for the rest of the season.
Cowboys and Niners looking good, man. We're going to see. Either way, though, Usher at the Super Bowl, so that's going to be crazy. Hide your girl.
Hi, Kiki Palmer, bro. I'm Joshua Potts, Mr. Possible, always with the brother with the same mother, Aaron Potts, Super Hot Potts, and you're watching and listening to your favorite Two Black Brothers every single
Yes, sir. We're back with the boy Colin on the podcast. Super excited to have him. Bro, I want to say this real quick. Like, when I was at work today, one of my coworkers was like, bro, like, do you do anything to prepare your voice, you know, before you come onto like podcast? And I was like, no, not at all. I just jump into this and my vocals are always on point. So whoever I just want to give myself a pat of back.
Whoever said that, bro, stop gassing this man up, because like, honestly, it's not that impressive. Let's be real. Let's be real here. Why are you gassing this man up like that? Like,
hey, man.
Like you really think he needs to prepare himself to say that? Like, for real.
Bro, it's a beautiful yelp that comes out of my voice. So I can see why he would think that. But it's natural. Yeah, it's very nice, natural.
I don't know about beautiful, but hey, Colin, thanks for joining us here on the Two Black Runners podcast, bro. We're super excited to talk to you about Word Athlete of the Year. Just announced their winners, their six winners by everyone's surprise, I would say. The Bowerman Awards are coming up this Thursday, so we're going to talk about that, and you're going to stick around and talk about those two things. Also, at the end of the show, we're going to talk about our Foot Locker experience. Colin, I don't think you'll be around for that part, but I just wanted to mention that up before we dive into everything. But let's start it off, bro. World Athlete of the Year just announced. Wait. World Athletics, they announced six World Athlete of the Year winners. Noah Lyles for men's track events, Faith Kipyegon for women's track events, Mono Duplantis for men's field events, Yomar Rojas for women's field events, Kelvin Kiptum for men's out-of-stadium events, Tiskaya Asefa for our women's out-of-stadium. See, there's a lot going on here. You feel me? There's a lot going on. I'm getting tongue-tied. My mouth's getting dry from talking about all these six events. Colin, what we really want to know is that we have six events. World Athletics went to this new move. Is this a good move for World Athletics to name six World Athlete of the Year awards over just having one for each gender like they've had for the past 34 years? Before we go into it, I want to read something that World Athletics posted on their site saying about everything. They said that this adaptation of the World Athlete of the Year honors awarded this year follows feedback received during the voting process. Many sensational performances, including an extraordinary 23 world records, were achieved in 2023, when it came to compiling the votes, athletes, fans, and Ward Athletics family members commented that it is incredibly hard to limit the vote to just one athlete because of the various disciplines and the vast differences in skill sets required. As a result, for 2023, the World Athlete of the Year Awards have been divided into three event categories: track, field, and out of stadia. Colin, you're Track World News. You report about all this stuff. You're keyed into it. You're to the ground. How do you feel about this decision by World Athletics?
So I think that it's a great idea. Let's take a look at just some other sports and how other sports recognize their top athletes. So the biggest one that, at least here in the U.S., that people like to compare to, not compare to necessarily, but you know, think of a big sport, we'll say the NBA. So the NBA has significantly less athletes that are competing in their sport compared to track and field. There's more track and field professional athletes than there are NBA athletes, right? And so, okay, how many awards do they give out? So last year, track and field, who has thousands and thousands and thousands of athletes, only two athletes get recognized as having elite performances, as winning athletes of the year. NBA has six individual athletes, you know, MVP, defensive player of the year, rookie of the year, most improved player, sixth man, and I think there may be one other. And they also have five athletes that make NBA first team, second team, and third team. So that's 15. And then they have five more athletes per first team, second team, third team for all defensive team. So that's 36 athletes, not even including the athletes that are awarded NBA All-Stars. So that gets you really close to about 50 athletes a year by the NBA that are being recognized for their performance over the course of the season. And so I think that the World Athletics upping their athletes' recognition from two to sixth is not even remarkably close to the discussion that the NBA has of recognizing 50 plus athletes, you know, every year. So I think it's good. You know, it's not like the, oh my God, we're giving out participation medals. No, it's the best sprinter or the best track athlete and the best field athlete. That's not that many awards. I think that it's fine. It's great for the sport. We get more people involved, and you're not, you know, you don't have to just give one for one person. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And before you go, they do World Athletics did the Rising Performance Award too. So they've been doing that, I think, since for like the past 10 years. So
okay. That opens it to seven, eight, you know? Okay, great. Eight, still way less than the amount that other sports recognize. So I don't think we're giving out participation trophies yet. Like if we were given out like a lot more, then, you know, maybe it gets a little dicey, but I'd even be open to giving out, you know, athletes per event, you know, if we're doing it. Like, I don't think it waters it down too much, but
yeah, about that one right
yeah,
there.
It's I think that we're fine.
Aaron, Josh about to go off. No. I see where Colin is coming from, and I agree with him in this notion that I think it's a good move to expand the amount of awards that are given out, to not just have it being two events. But where I think it was lazy, where it was just like, you know what, we just gonna make everybody athlete of the year. Like, I think about this, like Joshua, like Colin just went through and just talked about the NBA and about how they have all these different awards. But when you think about the sixth man, you think about Lou Will. When you think about the MVP, you think about Kobe or LeBron. You know what I'm saying? And it's like it's developing these different stories about how different athletes perform throughout the year. So I guess, I mean, I just feel like it's kind of a lazy move to say all these people are athlete of the year, not even like the field event person of the year, or like, I don't know. You said they have that rising star one. I think they still could have did it they could have diversified it in a way that was just like more appealing. And it's a little confusing because, you know, the nominations come out and they try to make like the nomination a big, you know, a big type of deal. But I do think, you know, what Colin was saying about the NBA, I think the NBA, out of all sports, in my opinion, really like honors their legends like really well. Like their Hall of Fame ceremony is really good. Like we didn't even mention, you know, you have the Finals MVP, you have the Finals MVP as well. You have the All-Star MVP. You got the in-season tournament. So they're really good at making things important. But I think the way of just like, every, you know, we're just going to expand the athlete of the year to six, you know, to six. Maybe it was too late. Honestly, I blame it on you, Joshua. I blame it on you because a couple weeks ago, we were literally on this podcast and you were like, you were complaining about this, I think. And you said something like, oh, why don't we have like an award for this and for that? And somebody may have listened to this and they're like, yo, wait, stop the presses. We can't just give out two awards. We have to change something. So
I have a problem with this. Biggest problem I have with this is because they give us the nominees of like our top five finalists, you know? And it's like, this was never, like when they announced the nominees or even just the first round of nominees, they should have had this plan already in. Like, you can't just change up the whole script because it doesn't even make sense. Like, why have finalists where the finalists are Femke Bol, Sharika Jackson, Faith Kibiegon, Tiske Asafa, and then Yulimar Rojas. And then we already know Asafa and Yulimar Rojas are going to get those awards because they're the only field events and they're the only out-of-stadium events. Like, in that thing, and then there's just only one person fighting for track events is Faith Kipyegon. So it doesn't even make sense. So I think it's late. The way that you said it's lazy, Aaron, I think it's lazy in that part that, like, they should have just waited till 2024 to do this instead of doing this now. Because it kind of diminishes.
Doesn't really do anything.
Yeah, it diminishes the value of World Athlete of the Year to me in a way. Because I'm all like, now everyone's just getting World. They just wanted to do World Athlete of the Year because they didn't want to make anybody angry. Because they were just all like, man, Asafa did super good and broke that marathon world record. Well, actually, Faith just broke a whole bunch of world records on the track. I don't know who to give it to. It's like, let's just make sure everyone gets it because Yulimar Rojas needs to get something too. I'm still like, that's just, I feel like it's lazy in that sense that they should have waited till the next year. And it's already lazy to me because I'm like, why are we still talking about this? Like, it's indoor track season. This should have been done like after Prefontaine. That's when it should have happened. It should have been done after Diamond League. But like, That's why I don't like it. And Colin, I want to hear back from you, but I also feel like they could have done it like how the NFL, you feel me? The NFL, we have offensive player of the year, and then we have defensive player of the year, and then we have an MVP. They could have gave all these six awards. Then let's just give one ultimate world athlete of the year. I don't know. We can give that to Noah Lyles or Faith for being the ultimate athlete. Like someone, I like having that one person, that one award of being MVP for like, we can debate about that as a fan and like we could talk about it. So that's how I feel in a way.
Yeah, I agree in for much of the things that you said of like I don't think that it waters it down as much as the fact that the second rollout was bad, like the semifinals thing of it. Like if you're gonna have this where it's like, hey, we have a track and field world athlete of the year, you know, a field world athlete of the year, like that's fine to me. Like that's okay. But don't say if you're going to have that, then that means you have to have three finalists for women's track. You have to have three finalists for women's field. Yeah. And you have to have you have to have that. So then it keeps the wonder versus like, yeah, now, you know, in hindsight, you could have looked back like, oh, so I knew who was winning out of stadium. Oh, I knew who was winning field because you didn't even have enough in your finalists. So I see from that standpoint, like the rollout wasn't great of, if you're going to do it this way, then the way you have semifinalists is different. And then the big thing that I 100% agree with you, Josh, is I hate that we're giving out awards for track and field when the season ended 3-4 months ago. The season's crazy. Done. Imagine if the NBA started giving out their awards like now for last season. No one would care because it's stupid. Give these out after the Olympics, after Prefontaine, after the World Championships, whatever it is, 2 weeks after it, same thing. We're going to get into Bowerman, same thing. You give it right after. No one cares when this season's already started. It's happened so long ago. I forgot about it. I wouldn't have known that they were giving out World Athlete of the Year until you texted me saying, hey, Colin, by the way, they gave out World Athlete of the Year. Do you want to talk about it? I was like, holy crap, I'm in track and field and I damn near forgot. So it's
this is Track World News talking, man.
No. That's bad, bro. I'm sorry, World Athletics, we need to fix that, man.
So
why do they do that though? I don't know why.
Question to both of y'all, I'm not a professional athlete, like what about the athletes? Did the athletes forget? Like, you know what I'm saying? Did you think Kelvin got a text today and was like, oh wait, oh, you won, you won World Athlete of the Year. And he's like, oh, shoot. Like, I wonder how the athletes feel about this. Like, how significant is this? Because I think about the NBA, if you get most improved player, that's significant. If you get sixth man of the year, that's not the MVP. But if you get one of those type of awards, like, that's a big deal for you. And I don't know if it's built into their contracts to where it's like, hey, if I get World Athlete of the Year, I'm going to get more money. I feel like for sure in the NBA and NFL, they have those things built in where that's like also like a bonus. I don't know if they're receiving money for this. But what do you feel like? I don't know, Colin, if you've ever talked to any athletes about this.
I've talked to some athletes more about the Bowerman one about it a couple of years ago. Like, I talked to a couple athletes that had been, awarded Bowermans or voted or, you know, were involved in that thing. And I was just like, yeah, like, why? Like, what are your thoughts on this? And it's like, yeah, I don't really get it. Like, the reason they do it is because they have their end of year meetings now, at least for why are you having your end of year meeting? Like, I get it's the end of this year, but you can change, just like how companies have fiscal years. Like, your fiscal year can end in July, but the actual year is in December. Like, okay, I'm talking business. Let me get away.
No, it's
like,
fact. So
you can have ends of season, like years, not be at the end of December. Like, it's a possible thing to do. And so it's like, imagine if Aaron or Josh, like, let's say you bought me lunch, at the World Championships, you know, what was that? Five months ago? I don't even remember at this point.
Something like that.
And what if today I said, hey, by the way, here's the $10 for lunch that you got me, or, hey, could you give me that $10 for lunch? You'd be like, why are you asking me now 6 months ago? You'd be like, oh, I'm just like, I just started, you know, doing this now. You'd be like, dude, you had, okay, I guess, but there's no impact. Like, do it when it happens. Like, it doesn't make sense at all. Like, I don't understand.
And I will say too, Aaron, to your point of like, when you get most improved in the NBA, it means a lot to that player as like mentally going forward. When you get MVP, it means a lot to that player mentally going forward. But I will argue to say it means a lot mentally to that player and everything, because it means so much to the fans. I think the fans put priority, and the broadcasters and the analysts put priority on that, and how they talk about it and in that regard make it mean even more to the players, because they hold it up to that level. Because the World Athlete of the Year is so far away, people are forgetting about it. And like, once it happens, like, we're already going to be talking about New Balance Grand Prix. You know what I mean? Like, there's just the correlation to where it's not even really added into Noah Lyles' accolades. When Mondo Duplantis gets introduced places, they don't talk about how he's a three-time World Athlete of the Year athlete. They're not going to talk about that. They're going to say he's world record holder. They're going to even talk about NCAA champion, Olympic champion. They're not going to say the World Athlete of the Year, because like, it's not even correlated to his world record performance. If he jumped that at pre, you feel me, the Diamond League, then 2 weeks later, he was awarded with World Athlete of the Year. And it's all like, oh, he got this because he jumped this at that perfect time. I think there would be a relation to it where like, we would really be.
Well, think about it like this though, award. Too, though.
Also, I feel like Ryan Krauser should have won that over Mondo Duplantis, but that's a different conversation.
But I think about it like this, like you said, you feel like Mondo should have won that over Ryan Krauser, but Ryan Krauser's like, bro, I'm still the GOAT.
No, that's why I said still, I think Ryan Krauser should have won.
But he has his gold medal. At the end of the day, he has a gold medal. He has the world record. He was winning with blood clots and stuff like that. So it's like nothing really, you know what I mean? It's just like, versus like the NBA, everyone's playing against each other. So it's like, yeah, there's times where like the MVP doesn't win, you know, the NBA finals. But it's like, yo, I don't know. The way our sport is just structured differently, it kind of makes those type of awards lose significance, especially like, I don't know, I could be wrong, if there's not any money behind, you know, winning that award or like any bonus or like a place of where it can be elevated. There's not like an award show or like you said, it's not like a significant stat. Like an MVP is a significant stat to have, like, and it's so coveted and it's hard to get, like, you know.
I'd say it can become significant once the media and the individuals involved make it more significant. So, like, I think, like, us in track and field media have the power to, like, if in these debates go, like, okay, yeah, but did they win athlete of the year? No, you didn't. I think if people can start, like, making a cultural shift, it'll be tough and it'll take time, but it's possible. And I think the big thing, like, one thing that you mentioned, Josh, that I 100% agree with is, like, we knew, like, they knew, the awards people knew that Mondo was the field athlete of the year and Noah Lyles was the track athlete of the year for the last 5 months, and they didn't do anything about it. Like, imagine that. Like, imagine your boss knew you were going to get promoted. Like, hey, I'm going to hold this promotion from you for 5 months. I'm not going to tell you it, it's like, 5 months later. Oh, hey, by the way, like, here's this promotion that you're supposed to have. You're like, dude, why didn't you tell me about this 5 months ago? Like, we know the results. So why are we waiting?
And that's the thing too, though, with that's monetary. So held back on my money for 5 months while I was struggling over here. You're holding back on my money for 5 months. So I'm gonna be mad. That's 5 months of pay that I should have had. So when you put that money behind it and everything, when it has that valuable, you know, for the athletes, it's like, bro, like, why aren't we doing this right after, you know, immediate? Why are we waiting to this? And it's like, maybe are we waiting because it doesn't matter? Is it because it's not significant?
Contracts have been signed. Like, contracts have been signed. And I'm sure that one of these six athletes have gone through a contract already. And had they known they won an award, maybe that's a different value. Maybe they receive something else, but they don't get that and they have to wait. And by the time their next contract comes up, you won athlete of the year 3 years ago. It doesn't really matter that much anymore, but I appreciate it. And so it's like time, like, it just kills these things. And like, I'm fine with having more athletes. I love it. I think we can get more things involved, having different team, like stuff like that. I'm good with it. It's just make it like better time. Like the Heisman Trophy, they haven't even finished the year and they already gave out the Heisman Trophy. Like, we haven't even they haven't even started the playoff yet, and they've already gave it out. And track, they gave out the Heisman Trophy for this season. They finished the NCAA football season, gave out their award before the Bowerman gave out theirs from last year. Think about that. They had an entire football season, gave out their award, and we still haven't seen the Bowerman. That is nuts.
That's a good transition, Joshua, I think.
I'm sorry if we're complaining a lot this episode of Two Black Runners podcast, but honestly, I felt like it built to this, it really built to this. We've been talking about this a lot. I think I've stirred the pots a lot. I had to talk about this.
You have.
The Bowerman Award, though, the Bowerman presentation is live on Runner's Space this Thursday, December 14th, beginning at 9 p.m. Eastern. John Anderson will once again be hosting the show. The Bowerman finalists were announced on June 26th. Of this year, the men's finalists are Kyle Garland, Jaden Hibbert, Leo Nürburgring of Texas, Julian Alfred, Jasmine Moore, and Britton Wilson. Are half of these people already turned pro now?
The only ones that are still competing, Jaden Hibbert. And it may be Neugenbauer. I can't remember, but everyone else is pro.
All right.
I think Neugenbauer's still in college. Yeah.
Who's going to win the Bowerman and why should I care about this?
So the first question, who's going to win? Jaden Hibbert for the men. He's going to win. He broke every record in the book for triple jump. He, like, by miles, like, it wasn't even close for indoors and outdoors. Like, that, he was a monster. And as a freshman to do that as well, like, crazy, like, very impressive to see him do that. Who's going to win on the women's side? Julian Alfred is going to do it. She was undefeated throughout her time on the track, ran some of the craziest times out there. Would love, like, Britton Wilson, she went for that crazy double, didn't work out, was unfortunate for her. So she's not going to get it. Jasmine Moore, I mean, she's just the one who's been underappreciated. Like, she should have been a finalist last year, I guess 2 years ago at this point, whatever it was, and wasn't. She had yet again another insane season, but I think with both jumps, but I think that we're just going to see Julian Alfred get it there. So I believe it's Alfred and Hibbert that are going to be the champions. And why should you care? Right now, like, I don't know. I mean, they're giving out an award. They had the finalists in June, on June 22nd, you said, and we're giving it out dang near December 22nd. So you shouldn't really care, because it doesn't really matter. Like, because clearly it doesn't matter to the awards. Like, give it out in June or in July, and it would make sense, but it doesn't. So here we are.
Yeah, it really doesn't make any sense. Similar to you, when Joshua was like Bowerman today, I was like, and looking through the rundown, I was like, oh shoot, I need to go back and what did these people do? You know what I mean? I'm like, because it was so long ago. Like, Julian Alfred went crazy. Like, she at NCAA, she won the one, the two, and the 4x1. I think she ran like 10.7, 10.72. I think it might have been 180 though. Like, it was, I was like, dang, I remember, like, that was crazy, but that was so long ago. And the fact that they're not, a lot of them aren't in college anymore either. It's kind of weird. I would say shout out to Runner Space though. I feel like Runner Space been doing a lot.
Runner Space been doing a lot this month, bro.
I feel like they've been really doing a lot. Like, I feel like this is a big deal that they're the ones that are doing the live broadcast of this. But again, like we've been saying, I wonder how many people will tune in. It's just weird that it is this late in the season.
I don't even understand why you need it at the end of the year meetings. I understand that's a cool feature to the end of the year meetings. Like, let's get together, have a presentation, and honor the best athletes in the USTFCCCAA, whatever that acronym is. Like, that's a cool presentation. But I'm just all like, like, the Heisman is, I'm pretty sure that's a small room. It's not really like in a big room, right? It's not like in a super big auditorium. Like, there's not like a whole bunch. It's like family there, and then just bring some families, bring some journalists in the building, and like
This is when they have all the coaches there and stuff. I know, because I know, like, you don't going to this.
You don't need like a whole bunch of other coaches there and stuff. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's really, you just need like I don't know. It's just it definitely is weird. Like, honestly, I think this is, we'll see. I'm also just like, we need to get some distance runners back on here. Like, we had some great seasons. I hope Parker Valby can get onto this finals list. Maybe we'll see Graham Blanks on this finals list for next December coming up. But I think we need some distance runners back on these finals list as well. And it's also really cool that we have two big athletes. That's all I have to really say about it. Like, I don't want to say anything more because I think I'm going to get mad.
I'm just disappointed too, because I feel like the Bowerman, like how we would like the world athlete to be viewed, the Bowerman is viewed like that by track fans, I would say universally. Like, throughout the season, we really are checking to see who's on the Bowerman list. We're on Track World News. You know, we want to see his rankings. Like, calling up, you know,
people's eat up for them rankings, man.
Yeah, people's moms be coming after this dude and stuff like that. Like, they do not play. But we actually do care about this. And we get super hyped when we see everyone running fast and jumping high and throwing far throughout the season. But then the hype just gets killed because we're like, wait, so who... Who won that? And then when they win at the end of the year, which is the beginning of the season for indoor, and then everyone just always a little bit confused by it at the end of the day. So there's a lot of potential with this award. I feel like it is looked at as the Heisman for sure.
Yeah, it's like you're wondering how many people tuned in. So I just pulled up the YouTube video that was the live clip from last year on YouTube. How many views do you think that the 2022 Bowerman presentation has?
I'm going to say,
wait, it's like a live stream. It's a live stream.
Yeah. It's the full hour, 40 minute, thing that they had. It was live and then they converted it into a YouTube
50,
video.
50K, 50K.
I'm going to say 30K to 20K.
4,900.
Oh damn, that hurt.
Now it's had it in 2018, it was 23,000. So like they've had a good amount like in the past. It's just then in 2019 it was 12K. It's like, I think the fact that we're doing this award months after is not helping. Like, it doesn't help. And if you have this right after the awards, like, I know I'd be doing, you know, like watch parties, like, you know, giving, showing my reaction of it. And I remember they had some technical difficulties last year, you know, with it, you know, it was going in and glitching out and stuff. And it's just, I think doing these when they happen, you know, it would make more sense. Like, they already know who's won the Bowerman. They've known for the last 5 months, but we're not going over, like, people have signed contracts already. Like, they're, like you said, five of these athletes are already pros. And do you think they would have gotten a boost potentially in how much they earned if they had been able to say that they were the Bowerman winner for that first contract? That would probably be pretty huge. What about NIL? People could have gotten NIL deals with, you know, different companies and being able to say that. And now you're the Bowerman winner. Like, it's, I don't understand why we do things sometimes in track and field. And this is one of those things.
Especially with it being an Olympic year, you gotta just do it.
Yes.
But hey, 2019 Bowerman winner, Sha'Carri Richardson. How many views do you think that one got? I call him probably seeing it.
I didn't look at that one yet. I'm guessing.
Sha'Carri wasn't what she was then in 20.
How many views do you think you got? I got.
Oh, you have it up?
35K.
You said 35K? What do you think, Joshua?
15, maybe?
1 million.
No, it doesn't, bro. No, it doesn't.
1 million.
The live stream? No.
Yeah. On YouTube, it has 1 million, bro. I don't know if, like, when it was live streamed, but it has 1 million. Maybe people went to go look at it afterwards. But I'm not trying to make this about Sha'Carri, but, bro, she really just different. We do have some athletes like that. That are just like polarized.
Cara Davis, like, she didn't even win, and she has 20K for her interview. So it's like, people are interested in this. Like, the athlete, the personalities are huge, but it's like, do better.
And I'll say on that part too, I think we need to do better on capitalizing on those moments, because I think Noah definitely, hats off to Noah, because he transcended the sport this year. But I think awarding him the World Athlete of the Year after Diamond League, a month after, like, if the World Athlete of the Year was two weeks after that, and what that would have been, like, three or maybe a month after he said NBA is not world champions, I think having that interview then and, like, kind of like capping off the end of his story then would be better off than dragging it the entire year. Because we were having this conversation last week on the podcast where we're talking about the Jackie Joyner, not the Jackie Joyner, but the Jesse Owens Award. And, like, I'm all like, bro, I'm low-key, like, I'm tired of this story now. Like, bro, it's indoor season. Like, let's pick it up. Like, we've been talking about the same thing for the past 6 months. Like, the story hasn't changed. Like, and I love what Noah's doing too. Like, I love, because he's not just talking about it anymore. Like, he's actually doing it. And, like, he has his YouTube channel and he's doing so many things with Peacock, and he's actually doing the thing. But I'm just all like, dude, like, we need to end this story. Like, at its peak, at its climax, let's end the story instead of dragging it a whole 6 months and then do it. And I think that would have even helped, like, Julian Alfred. I think Julian Alfred would have got even more publicity if she would, before she went to the world championships, she's also the Bowerman Award winner, not a Bowerman finalist. She's a Bowerman Award winner.
And, like, I hate to say this though, but the theme of what we've been saying is, we're thinking about how you would market the sport and market the athletes. And unfortunately, they're thinking about something else. They're thinking about when they're going to get together with their buddies at the coaching convention and watch the Bowerman. You know, they're thinking about what's most convenient for them. And like the NBA, it's all built around marketing. It's all built around marketing and telling these different stories of the athletes, because, as Colin would say, they're trying to get butts in seats. I don't know. Sometimes I'm like, are we not trying to get butts in seats? Are we not trying to get eyeballs on TVs? I don't know. I don't know. And that's a constant issue with track. It's really basic marketing principles that we're talking about here.
But let's continue. Well, you had something. Go ahead, Colin.
You're good. I was just going to reiterate the exact same point of I don't understand the timing of it. But yeah, go ahead. If you had something.
let's continue that marketing strategy, because we got to do that thing. That's why we start the podcast. We got to do that thing. That's why you start Track by News. We saw a need, and we saw the need to like basically market and share the news. So like indoor track's coming up, Colin. We don't have to just talk about the college scene, but you can go into the professional as well. What are you excited for this indoor track season? Because cross country is over. We're about to talk about the last cross country set, last cross country race in our next block in a second. But like indoor track is here. Track season is taking over. What stories are exciting you? What athletes are exciting you?
Yeah, I'll start in your guys' neck of the woods first, where something that I don't really usually get excited for, but distance running. I mean, we all know Boston's got, you know, the track where if you want to run fast, go to Boston. If neither of you have been, I would strongly recommend. I got to race there one time in college. It's so hard to explain what it's like running on that track, because you're so used to running on like metal tracks. It's like it's made of wood. It's like, yeah, I don't know. Just imagine like the most bouncy track you've ever seen in your entire life. That's what it's like. It's so crazy, but it's super cool. And one of the best facilities. It's very tiny, and it feels very homey. The music and the cheering really goes around. It's the best arena for track and field. But yeah, they had the two national records on day one of the indoor season. One of my people that I'm really excited for, I've been high on her for a little while now, is Parker Valby. I think she's going to have her time to shine this year. She's been in the shadow of Caitlin Tui for the past 2 years. And you know, whether rightfully or unrightfully, whatever you want to say, Caitlin Tui, absolute legend, going to Adidas. Congratulations for her. I'm excited for her. But now it's like this. Now it's the Parker Valby show, and yeah. I am excited for that. I'll be tuned in, looking forward to seeing how she's going to do, because I don't know as much of the competition that she's going to have up against her. I'm looking forward to seeing how she does. And then just on the men's side of things, like, I really want to see Sean Maswanganye from Houston. I'm really excited for him. I think he's going to be one of the best in college sprinting this year in the 200. I think he's going to be able to drop some crazy times, some 100 times. I think he's the best college sprinter that hasn't won a national championship like in recent history. And so I'm looking forward to seeing what he's going to be able to do on the sprinting side of things, because he's immensely talented on the international stage as well as on the national stage. And so it should be fun to see him do well as well.
I feel like that dude's been in school for like ever.
He actually, like, he hasn't though. Like, I thought too. I was like, dude, have you taken COVID years? Like, no, this is like genuinely his fourth year.
Maybe it's just because he's always been up there.
He's been good since day one. So yeah. how we thought bowling, you know, had been here forever. Like, he was just big since high school, and so people just you think that they're there for much longer than they actually are. But he's started like right after COVID. So
I feel like in college, right? I feel like there's a lot of people that recently went pro. I feel like there's a lot of open doors in the collegiate ranks right now, like for like a lot of stars left, like Julian Alfred, she's not there no more on the women's side. I mean,
Brittany Wilson, Talitha Diggs.
Yeah.
Pro. A lot of people did go pro. There were those household names for NCAAs, but I think this year is definitely going to be a birth of a lot of new ones. Plus, like, a lot, I think we're in a stage too where like there's a lot of high schoolers right now, like with the Mia Brahe Pedersen and Adadeja Hajj as well, who are like signing these deals that are going to be like those new like freshman stars coming in this year. But there's not as many. I think I'm definitely forgetting someone that's a freshman.
Shanti, I'm very excited to see Shanti Jackson.
There,
like,
you go,
Shanti. Of all freshmen, like, I am excited to see her go. She's got that hype to her. I was looking forward to her. So I'm excited to see what she's going to end up doing at Arkansas this year. That's going to be a good one.
And then I would say athlete I'm probably most excited to see is Mikayla Rose. I think Mikayla Rose, what she did last year, I thought she was going to win 800. For a second, I was like, bro, is she going to make the team? And I think she's going to be in the running to make the U.S. Olympic team again. But the fact that I believe she was all region for cross country this year. with LSU, and our LSU team got third place, so they didn't make the NCAAs, but they got third place in their region. So the fact, just the work that she's doing, you know, and I think she's hungry, bro. We got to talk to her at USA, and she's hungry like to be on that top spot. So that's someone that I'm definitely excited to see this indoor season, because she killed it last year too in the eight, and she, like, I remember she broke like a 500 meter national record. So that's probably most excited I'm supposed to see on the college side, at least.
Yeah. Also, right now I'm looking at the rankings, and my boy right now, number one in the nation. I'm just waiting for him to drop a song. My boy Aaron Brown from Grand Canyon. That boy, he's number one in the nation right now, bro. 20.7 at the Spokane invite, bro.
World lead, Aaron Brown, the spider.
Hey, come on, man. If y'all don't know, what is the song called?
There's a lot. 22 is one. And I think 10-7 is another.
He was roasting that boy, though. What did he say? I forgot.
I never go to a meet and run 22.
Yeah, I'll never go to a meet and run 22. Aaron Brown, that's a VAR, man. That's dude number one. Hey, he almost make it to Nationals last year?
Yeah, he just missed out on it a little bit. Like, he's been pretty good. Like, pretty good.
That's hilarious, though. But hey, I appreciate you calling for coming on the Two Black Runners podcast. We'll definitely have to do it again coming into this new year as we get into this indoor track season and everything, bro. Appreciate you. You have anything else to say before we get out of here, man?
Are you got any track world news announcements you need to make?
Ooh, well, first, appreciate you guys having me on. Always love joining you guys. It's a lot of fun. I am announcements, I guess. We're going to be dropping our first iterations of the Bowerman preseason for next year. My goal is to have out my predictions for next year before this year's award comes out, which, you know, which is crazy to say. So we'll be having that out for this year, starting to talk about, you know, who are some of those big names, because this is one of the most fun awards in sports. And it's just a shame that there's just one little thing we got to change. It's the timing. Once we get that, I think this is clearly the best award in track and field. But thank you guys so much for having me. Always love doing this. Looking forward to seeing you guys some meets. And see you guys soon.
Foot Locker, I was there this past weekend. You were sick, weren't able to go, but
that's crazy, man.
You watched the races?
Yeah, no, I definitely watched the races from the house. But unfortunately, I came down with the COVID, y'all. I had to, you know, I don't know. It got me at Worlds. Got me as soon as I start talking about how I appreciate something, like I get sick or something for some reason. So.
But I was there at Foot Locker, really nice event. We're able to stay in the hotel down in Torrey Pines near in La Jolla, bro. That hotel was really nice. It was cool to be able to actually like be a part of the event and like working with Runner Space, working with Hoka during the entire thing. And I feel like we put out some great content for some great events that really happened. Elizabeth Leachman won the girls race with a 16:50. Ninth fastest all time on that Morley Field course. She battled really for that. The week prior, she was leading 10 minutes in that NXN race and then got ran down, falling all the way back to 15th. And she bounced back from that. And that was her focus. And she really just she had to stay focused in that mindset of just like letting God do his thing. And she came back and got the win. Drew Griffith wins the boys race. A boys race where, like, I think there was no clear-cut favorite, but Drew Griffith definitely proved that he's a guy that we may be talking about for years to come. I really feel like with Notre Dame too, there was like four guys in the Foot Locker race that are going to Notre Dame, and like I believe three girls that are going to Notre Dame as well. So Notre Dame is getting like a full contingent from this Foot Locker class. He won it in a 15:06, and they're looking formidable. And so I want to know, Aaron, how did it feel watching Foot Locker from home, that experience and just the production of everything? Because I really feel like from what I've seen at Foot Locker this past week, I feel like it's back on the same level as NXN. I really do. I feel like the competition is just about the same, definitely. But I think that may be too effective, that like NXN had such a muddy and just crazy terrain, not discounting any of the winners that were there, but I think Elizabeth Leachman had just that horrible race, you feel me? And I think she's best girl. I think she's the best girl in the country. I think the only girl that can beat her is Jane Hindegren, who beat her at Woodbridge. So, and Jane Hindegren was hurt. So I think she's the best girl in the country and cross country. Drew Griffith wasn't at NXN, but I feel like he could have beat JoJo Jordan, or like it would have been a close race. Cameron Todd got eighth place in Foot Locker and he got second place at NXN. So, but I really feel like Foot Locker is back on the same level as NXN.
Man, you make a good point saying, you know, Cameron, there's a lot of reasons you could say he got eighth place, but it's a more fair and true course. It's about just running fast. It's not about running through conditions or anything like that. It's about who could run this course the fastest, and you have the fastest people there. It's a smaller field too, which also contributes to it being like more competitive. Yeah. And like, I mean, I'm gonna pick San Diego over Portland any day. I mean, to be honest, but watching at home, it was great. Like, the Foot Locker, I think, always does a really good job on the stream. Like, Kerry Tolson, always great on the mic. And then who was the other dude, the legend?
Tim Aroke.
Yeah, Tim Aroke, the legend, bro. Yeah, he always killing it. Shout out to Billy, doing the sideline reporting. And I liked how...
I was like, bro, you're killing it.
Nah, he was doing great. He did really great. Brought the right around of energy and everything. And I think he was just out there grabbing people too. And he was doing really good.
No, that was literally like his job. They told him that, bro. Like, they just were all like, bro, you just have to go grab somebody. And like, he didn't like have anyone to grab. He would just like run around and ask people. It was like, bro, he said it was stressful. I'm all like, yeah, bro, that sounds hella stressful.
But he did good though. He got the right people. Like, he was able to get family members or people that have raced there before. I think the first one was like a kid that was coming to watch who had great energy. So I think that he found the right people that added to it. And I thought it was really cool when he interviewed people's parents. And I also liked how they, with the kids that got the NIL deals, that they were athletes that, you know, just had won the past year, and they came and talked about their experiences, because I could see that becoming a tradition as like you, as you're the champion, you're coming back to crown, you know, the new champion. And then that's something that the kids can like, they can, you know, talk about. You're only a freshman, so you're not that far away from them too. So you can like talk to them about what college is like and like learn from them. So I think NXN just has like the cool factor thing, but I think we did a good job, Hoka, in making it cool and fun and impactful for the kids to be there. It really felt like a celebration. Yes, it was a championship competitive race, but it also felt like a celebration for the season. For all of the kids, and it's almost like an elite club to be a part of, like that top 40 in the nation. It's to me, Foot Locker is more like McDonald's All American, because these are the top players in the country, and they're going against each other, but then they always share that bond forever. That like, yo, like, you know, remember we were on the McDonald's together with Kobe, you know, one team beat the other, but everyone's kind of like in it together, and they have those friendships as they go into like, you know, the professional world.
No, yeah, it's definitely dope, and being able to see there and see the camaraderie that the kids kind of have for each other. I feel like the West team really had a really strong camaraderie. I think it has to do because a lot of them are from California as well, so they generally like click. So I think, yeah, most of them are from California. Then there's a few people like from Idaho, Washington, and then like I don't even think there's anybody from Oregon this year actually. But it was a really great time. I think Hoka's marketing was like great, definitely compared to the past 2 years when it was just like East Bay and Champs. They didn't have anyone really attached to it. So to have like a shoe brand attached to it just made it feel more like, it made it feel more like Foot Locker of old, you know what I mean? And just gave it like that extra, just like, punch of like class at the end of the day. And that really showed in the performances, I feel like, too. Like, I think those Drew Griffith and Elizabeth Leachman are like really two great competitors. And I'm excited to see for in high school track to just see how these distance runners are going to perform on the track, you know, because we didn't get like those people that we thought that were going to be national champions this year, to be honest, even at NXN. So like, I think the track is going to be that level playing field. Like, shoot, man, Arcadia is about to be lit.
So Joshua, from your opinion, Foot Locker's over now. You know, it's time for track season. What do I tell Craig, bro? What do I tell people, my peoples at Hoka? What do we got to do from now until next cross country season to make somebody that went to NXN, like that didn't go to Foot Locker, like a Sadie Englehart, or what is Dathan's daughter? What's her name?
Addie Rittenheim.
Addie Rittenheim. Sorry, Addie. I respect you. You know, you your own person. How do we get them? It's hard because they're on a team. But how do you convince those people? Hey, that's cool and cute that you did NXN. That's NXN is cool. Like, for the team, that's cool. But if you really want to if you want to prove you the best, this is where you got to go. How do you do that?
I think the best way to do that, it's hard to get someone like Addie Rittenheim, because like, she's her team, NIWAT, got second place and she's a sophomore. You know what I mean? So like, she's gonna go back and race their team.
She could still come back when we're one more race, can't she?
For sure. I think what it comes down to is that
on the West, though.
You got to start giving people buys. I think you need to award people some buys to going to the meet. And I was reading this Let's Run article, actually. I'm trying to pull it up, but I can't find the preview. But Jonathan Gold was saying that Foot Locker was giving the top Californians, Sadie Englehart and Emmanuel Perez, buys to Foot Locker. And I guess they didn't accept the buys, but that's like, I think that is super huge. So for the first time, I think the first time since the beginning of NXN Team Nationals, they're going to give Californian runners buys. And I think you should potentially do that same thing to the top individual at NXN, because like, I don't think a Colorado may not have the option to like where the regionals meet up to exactly run that time. But I think a buy would definitely help just so much in that favor. And another thing that they can also do on top of that is, because which I think the buys is a great thing, and especially offering the buys, they did that for this year for California, I think is great. I feel like Sadie Englehart and Manuel Perez would have accepted that, because I feel like they would have crushed on this course compared to NXN. Like, I don't know, they were running so good this year in high school for cross country and track, so I feel like they would have done well. But the other thing that Hoka should do, they got to sign more NIL deals. They got to give up some more money. Craig, you got to give up some more money. Because Nike, they got to Nike Elite Camp. All those kids, without a shadow of a doubt, they're going to go to NXN. Like, they have the option, they're going to go to NXR over going. Like, if Elizabeth Leachman, she's a Nike Elite athlete. But, like, it just lined up that she was able to do both. You feel me? But, like, she's going to pick NXN over Hoka Foot Locker anytime. But if they sign Addison Rittenheim to Hoka for NIL deal, she has to go to Foot Locker. You know what I mean? She has to go. She can still go to NXN, but she has to go to Foot Locker. She is that NIL athlete if she qualifies. So I think that's a way that you can confirm that like, these top athletes are going there, and that will make other athletes want to go there too, to race the best of the best. And it also just shows that like, I don't know. I feel like the New Balance deals that we see for high school athletes and the Nike deals that we see, it just makes New Balance and Nike look cool and look like, dang, like these guys are like dope. They got NIL deals, and Hoka could be that same way if they're able to sign these athletes. But besides from that, I feel like Foot Locker's in a good spot though. I feel like there's not a true standout athlete in cross country right now like there has been for the past 4 or 5 years. Like on that track, it's different. It's Sadie Englehart. You feel me? But and on the in cross country? I don't think so.
Do kids care, bro? Like let me, you know, I'm washed, you know, I'm washed, you know, I'm about 30. Do kids care? Like, do they care about, you know, being the, like, being the best? Not, you know what I'm saying? Being signified number one. Because you have these two meets. You have Nike, you have Foot Locker. If you win Nike, do you really need to go win Foot Locker? If you win Foot Locker, do you really feel like you need to win Nike? Like, do they really care about that? Or they just want to go to the place that they're going to have the best time? You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
I don't think there's a lot of kids that really care about, like, I need to win both, honestly. I don't think there is, especially if.
Or do they care? What I'm saying is, like, do they care? Like, I need to win. No, I don't need to win Foot Locker. I need to win Nike. Or, like, I don't want to need Nike. I want to win Foot Locker. Or is it more so, like, where am I going to have a great best time?
I think it may lean more to where I'm going to have the best time, honestly, to be honest. And I feel like the kids walking away from Foot Locker are going to go home to, like, their friends and be all like, bro, like, Foot Locker was dope. Like, they got a lot of stuff.
Yeah, they did.
They got a lot of gear, bro.
I saw them walking around full sweatsuits.
No, yeah, they got a lot of swag. And it's just only, you could do that too when it's only 40 kids. You know what I mean? So, like.
That hotel was nice.
Yeah. So I think that appeal is definitely there, but I don't think there's as many kids that are like, dang, like, yeah, like, I need to win. I need to make sure that I win and extend to be the absolute best. But the only reason why they had that mindset is because the person that was the quote unquote best was going to be at that race. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I have to beat this. I have to go win and extend because I know Nico Young's going to be there. And like, if I beat Nico Young, I'm the absolutely best. Or if Leon Lex Younger beat there, if I beat them, I'm the absolute best. So I got to make sure that I go race NXN. But it's all like next year coming up, both Elizabeth Leachman, she's going to defend her title at Foot Locker. You feel me? If she goes back and defends her title, everybody has to go to Foot Locker. If you want to be the very best in the nation, beat her on her home court.
So you're saying without a doubt, Elizabeth Leachman is the best. You think she is the best for sure. She's better than Addy, I don't know, Riley. I gotta go look back at NXN results.
I think she's the best. I think Elizabeth Leachman's the best. I think she had a bad race at NXN. I think Addison Ritzenhain, like if I did rankings, I don't do rankings, but I think Elizabeth Leachman would be number one. And then
ninth fastest at Foot Locker.
Yeah, and like a lot of people that were in those top like five, like Ellie Shea, she didn't have a good race at Foot Locker. Azaria Almakia, she didn't have a super good race at Foot Locker when championship time came. And Elizabeth Leachman has been running. She hasn't, the only race she lost was NXN, and then she bounced back the worst race of her life, bro. And then to bounce back the next week and win and like to be like getting smacked. She was getting, bro, they went out at 5 minutes, bro. And that's she came crazy. Back and won. Like, I think, yeah, I think she's the best. She ran a totally different race the next week, wasn't rattled. And still got the win. I think she's the best. She's the best girl. So if she comes back and defends her title, if she runs at the Foot Locker, I think people will go back and I think people will recognize that in this track season too, hopefully. If Elizabeth Leachman runs super fast, people recognize she's the best. Like, all right, then.
Yeah, I wish we would have had Craig on for this podcast, actually. That would have been cool if we had Craig on right now too. But shout out to Craig, man. Great, great first execution. A Foot Locker, freaking four regions, one national meet. That's a tall glass. And shout out to Runner Space. No, shout out to Craig for bringing all the creators out that he did to work on this. From Bernard, from Long Run Lactic, to everything Dom at the Running Effect was doing. Joshua and John did their thing with Running Report. Rome Creative with Aisha.
Bro, they did a lot, bro. They're crazy. Yeah. They're making like yearbooks for the kids.
Nice. Like, that's fire.
Each kid is getting like a yearbook of like, they took like disposable cameras throughout the entire day and they're getting like a yearbook from the entire event, bro. Like, nah, they ain't doing that at NXN. They ain't doing that on NXN, bro. I'm telling you.
Hey, Josh, bro,
you gotta step your game up. I'm just saying.
Listen, man. Yeah, no, and then Matt Flynn came out, did the lockers, did the photo shoot. Like, you know, Hey, at the end of the day, you know, the parents was happy. The parents was happy that their babies had a good time. So, you know, because at the end of the day, you do got to get the kids, but you really got to convince the parents too. You didn't get to go, and they did the front office sports about the NIL deals. Like, there was a lot of good stuff. There were a lot of great things. There was a lot of great things that were happening, and we're only going to see what comes from it, like, down the line. But I always say, man, I don't know. This is super important. I think it's super important. Like, you know, this could end up, you never know what could come from this. Like, of course, you know, you get kids in shoes, but you may have an athlete in the making. You never know. So, shout out to everyone that worked.
You may have a CEO.
True,
you
know? That's facts. It's just like, it's their first experience with the brand, and it's just something that's it's just a very memorable moment. So, you know, and it's a happy and great moment, you know, where people were really like treating you like a superstar and all these things and stuff like that. That's like super inspirational. But there were so many creators that worked on that. So, and Runnerspace was really posting everybody's stuff going up. Like, shout out Runnerspace, man.
No, yeah, it was going crazy. Man, I didn't even expect us to speak this long on this podcast, but we just we're over an hour. So I think y'all probably tired of hearing us talk. So I think we'll catch y'all next week on a Two Black Runners podcast. And I will be a Cal State Fullerton alum next time I jump on this podcast.
Man, congratulations, bro. Congratulations.
Hey, on a day's work, you feel me? God's plan. Hey, but we'll catch y'all next week. See y'all later. Thanks y'all for joining us on the Two Black Runners podcast. As Aaron's like to say, you guys are real ones for listening this far. See y'all next week. Let's get it.
Appreciate you. Love you. Thank you.